Good morning. For those of you who I have not had the pleasure of meeting, I'm Allison Curl. I have been incredibly blessed to call APC my church home for my entire life. I was baptized here, and I grew up going to Sunday school here. Many of you here today have watched me grow up and have the embarrassing pictures and stories to prove it. I have this church to thank for giving me lifelong friends, some of my favorite childhood memories, and some of my most exciting adventures, such as going to Montreat, Destination Unknown, or going on a mission trip to Peru. But most of all, being able to grow up in a church like this has encouraged me to pursue an unshakable faith in God, and for that, I am more than grateful. At the beginning of this year, I was blessed enough to attend a Christian conference for 18 to 25-year-olds, where we worship God and learned what it means to be a Christian and live a Christian life. One of the main things that was talked about was the mission of the church. The work of the church began as the work of Christ was finished on the day of Pentecost. Jesus paid our debt and took away our sin and shame. And when he ascended into heaven, the work of Christ was done and the work of the church was only beginning. The purpose of the church is to spread the word of God, so that everyone may know of the finished work of Christ, which allows us to find salvation and eternal life in Jesus. An analogy that was used at the conference was that as Christians, we are a flaming arrow in the hands of a merciful God. God is in complete control of where he aims our lives, and he's the only one who knows where life is taking us before we get there. We may not know where God will shoot our arrow, but we can know what our arrow will do when it gets wherever it's going. We can be sure that wherever God leads us, that we will light the fire of Christ and spread the word of God and continue the work of the church that began on Pentecost. The fact that God is in complete control of our lives and has a certain path for us is something that I have always known, but it was more than confirmed when it came time for me to apply and then decide on what college I wanted to spend the next 4 years of my life at. We make plans for our lives, and almost always it never happens the way that we wanted it to. The plans that we make for ourselves are too small compared to the plans that God has for us. God constantly works in our lives, and sometimes it goes unnoticed, and other times it wakes us up. These past 4 years, I have seen God work in my life in so many ways by using the good and the bad to keep me on the path he has planned for me to take. I started high school knowing about five people because almost everyone I knew was districted for a different school. It was more than terrifying for me to start a new chapter in my life without being surrounded by the familiar faces of the people I had grown up with. But if I hadn't gone to Cambridge, I would have never been challenged to step out of my comfort zone and become the person that I am today. I wouldn't have met the people I now consider my best friends that I can't imagine not having in my life, or the group of people who encouraged me to be a counselor for a church camp the past 2 summers that without, I wouldn't have discovered my love for working with kids. I never would have decided to pursue a career in pediatric occupational therapy. Throughout the past 4 years, I've had my fair share of ups and downs. There were moments where I was upset and angry with God for putting what at the time seemed like unnecessarily painful roadblocks in my path, but in reality were put there to strengthen my faith in God and to keep me on the course that he had laid out for me. In Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 27, it says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words, and God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." To us, our lives are filled with what-ifs, but where life takes us will never be a mystery to God. It is his plan that has led me to this church, to the sport that I got to play and love for the past 14 years, to all my friends who constantly show me compassion and love, to all the memories who make me who I am, and to Auburn University, where I will be attending in the fall. As I move on to this next chapter in my life, I accept and welcome the fact that I'm never going to know where God is aiming my arrow until I get there. But I do know that wherever God sends me, I will light the fire of Christ and continue the work of the church. Thank you.
When I was asked to do this sermon today, I reflected on my opportunities to serve others with the youth at this church. And I realized that no matter who we were helping or where we were helping, we helped to renew their sense of hope. With hope, it restored the connection of faith. And with faith and hope combined, a faith even as simple as believing in the people around you, God shows us that there are higher causes than ourselves, and that even the smallest act can make a world of difference. After the years, I have been able to serve communities in both Charlotte, North Carolina, and Americus, Georgia. The most impactful trip personally to me, though, was in Peru last summer with the youth group. We went to Peru for a week and helped build houses in a small rural town called La Florida. There we met a man named Zenon Colque. I believe he was the embodiment of the spirit of leading by serving. Over his years of service, he has done many amazing and inspiring works. For example, he was in the U.S. attending college, and the founder of the Fuller Center for Housing, Millard Fuller, called him. And he felt so inspired, he walked from Americus, Georgia, to Indianapolis, Indiana. Along his journey, he collected change off the sidewalk and put it in a jar. And when he got to Indianapolis, he bought a pickup truck and a cement mixer with that money, and he shipped it back to Peru so he could start his own outreach center. He has dedicated his life and his assets to this just cause, and I found his story to be the personification of the Christian spirit. Like the story of Pentecost, we as people speak different dialects based off of creed and class, but God gave us one universal language, and that is servitude. We as God's children all learn to live by serving others, but over time this practice has been shaken by tyranny and greed. But the instinct is still undeniable and good. I wholeheartedly believe that anyone with the opportunity should try and have an aspect of service in their life, because you should treat your neighbors like you want to be treated, and as Christians, we should try to embody our teachings. While writing this, I found great inspiration from Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Colin Vacco, and I've been coming to this church since I was born. As a child, I went to weekly church services, Sunday school, and VBS. When I got older, I still went to Sunday school, began attending youth group, and was even confirmed here. This is where I grew up, which is why it's so special for me to speak with you this morning. I have been on many mission trips with the youth program here at APC, from being a sixth grader and going on cross, to visiting Americus twice, to having the opportunity to build homes in the third world country of Peru last summer. In addition, I've been on two mission trips to Nicaragua with my high school, Blessed Trinity, during the last two spring breaks. While in Nicaragua, we worked with an organization called Amigos for Christ, which promotes water, education, and economic development in rural Nicaraguan communities. Every Sunday, the first full day of the mission trip in Nicaragua, it is a tradition at Amigos for Christ for everyone to climb Cerro Negro, an active volcano. By doing this activity, participants get to know others and start to form lifelong bonds and with the people they will spend the next week with. The main point of climbing this volcano, however, is that you are doing things juntos, which means together in Spanish. This word completely encompasses Amigos' goals and my week spent in Nicaragua. During the week, we did things juntos, with one another and with God. Now, there are two ways to climb the volcano. The first way, the easy route, is to climb a mile and a half long trail over volcanic ash and rocks to reach the top. The second way to go up the volcano is the more difficult way, where you climb up the face of the volcano, basically straight up. Last year, in 2017, I decided to take the easy, scenic route up the volcano. While this was an awesome experience, I wish I had climbed the more difficult way, and I had felt like I had taken the easy way out. So I decided to go on this mission trip again for my senior spring break, and I was determined to challenge myself this time and go up the harder way. The people who had gone this way on my first trip, weren't lying when they said, "You take two steps forward and one step back." With every step, my feet would sink into the volcanic ash, making it difficult to climb higher. Now, this might sound like a terrible experience, given that the climb is very strenuous and the temperature is over 100 degrees, but I was so eager to take on this challenge. To prepare for this expedition, I even started running on a treadmill every day in January, and I absolutely hate running. But I knew I needed to exercise if I wanted to be fit enough to reach the top. However, no amount of preparation could have prepared me for climbing that volcano. So the day of the climb, which happened to be Easter Sunday, my friends and I were so excited to start climbing. However, shortly after we started, I realized that it was going to be more physically demanding than I'd ever imagined and one of the hardest things I would ever have to do in my life. So at this point, I knew that I needed some help, so I turned to God and the other people making the climb with me. There were many times along the way that I debated giving up and walking back down to the bottom of the volcano. However, throughout the climb, my friends and I prayed. We prayed for the Holy Spirit to help us and give us strength to reach the top. The Holy Spirit is the power and essence of God that can help you in times of need. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Just as the Holy Spirit filled the apostles and allowed them to spread the word of God, the Holy Spirit filled me and gave me willpower to reach the top of the volcano. Climbing a volcano is a metaphor for my relationship with God. When one first decides to live for God, it's like deciding to climb a large volcano or mountain. At first, you're happy and the hike is fun, but sooner or later, you're going to get tired. You're going to get fatigued and want to turn back. However, you will soon realize what the ultimate goal is, union with God. With every step we take, we strengthen our relationship with Him. Even though we're going to have problems and struggles throughout our life, this metaphor teaches us to continuously pursue God. As I now leave home and continue my journey to Georgia Tech, I look forward to what God has in store for me and where He will take me next on my climb. Thank you.
Good morning. It is such a privilege to be here and reflect on a wonderful 10 years of being a part of this church family. And this morning, we also got to speak at the 9:30 service, and there was a wonderful baptism. And after that, they sang Jesus Loves Me, and I didn't know that was going to happen, but I happened to mention that song. So that was really special. When I was little, my parents would tuck me in and sing Jesus Loves Me. This reminder was later engraved in a heart-shaped necklace and given to me the first time I graduated, which was in preschool. Today I stand before you, a child of God, a senior in high school, who lives every day knowing Jesus loves me. But not just because of the reminders from my parents, but from you all as well. So thank you. This warming, nourishing, sustaining, and infinite love can also be found in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is proof that God is more than with us, He is in us. The scripture readings express paradoxical notions of rebirth and birth, leadership and guidance, dreams and reality, and all of these are contradictions. So as children of God, how are we supposed to respond to this? Well, being children, we can only ask questions, but we are also very trusting. So I think God has the intent for us to question and entrust. And I have some. The following are very difficult questions that I want you to ponder. Why do young people want to take their own lives at such an early age? Why do young people do illegal drugs? Why does social media play such an important role in people's lives? Why is failure so despicable? Why do racism and bigotry still exist? Why are gender distinctions and sexual orientations still controversial issues? Why have political affiliations become our only affiliations? And why are there only three High School Musical movies? The importance isn't the questions as it is seeking the answers, for we can only attempt to understand difficult topics such as these. The most clarity I've ever had in my entire life was 4 years ago when I went to Haiti on a church mission group. It was the first time my life truly had meaning. I've always been accompanied by the Holy Spirit, but what I didn't possess was that awareness. I could go on and on about how this trip has affected me, but I would rather discuss why this experience has affected me so tremendously. The answer I have come to find is the Haitian people. Their widespread smiles and overflowing hearts warm my soul to its very core. While the global censuses report that Haiti is an impoverished developing nation, I am here to report that while Haitians don't have Avalon, Netflix, liposuction, they are appreciative and they have more developed in human emotion, integrity, faith, forgiveness, appreciation, common decency, and love. How is it possible for people to survive and thrive without material access? Access will always be, at the end of day, access. Access produces weight, and weight restricts action. And action leads to these wonderful demonstrations of love, and their love shone through to me. I can't help but make a comparison here. For while America sits on its success, Haiti actively seeks security, and we as Christians should seek action. My final question remains, how can we actively continue to be children of God, who make friends, who seek knowledge, who want to get to know God, who make mistakes, who get back up, who forgive easily, who see differences but choose to embrace them, who cry when they feel injustice, who are scared of leaving home, and who have life telling them it's time to grow up. I am 18 years old. I am mentally 40. I am emotionally 12. But I am a child of God. And you are all children of God. And in a sense, we are all youth graduating from something. Whether we transition from preschool to kindergarten, middle school to high school, college to graduate school, one job or the next, or appear stagnant, we are constantly growing as children of God. And after all the emotional and mental comfort or stress us youth have brought you today, we want to leave you with hope. Just like the hope that arises from Pentecost as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we are not alone. We just need to know this and get to know ourselves. For how can one live when they don't love themselves? We can't all go to Haiti and get swept away by its beautiful, clear turquoise water and vibrant, rhythmic songs. But we need assurance now. You can make it happen for yourself and for others, and be the child that questions. Seek God, seek your true access-free self. And as I conclude my sermonette, I would like to throw in a few High School Musical quotes that question, because it also has influenced me a lot. Please join me in listening, laughing, or whatever you so choose, because it's really influenced me. So here we go. What the heck are those two doing in a tree? Coach Bolton. Did you ever think that maybe I could be both? Troy Bolton. Where's my team, Darvis? Coach Bolton. What was your favorite summer memory, Miss Darvis?
Jason.
What team? Wildcats. Chad Danforth. And if you don't understand these references, please find one of the youth who does. You will love getting to know them and reacquaint yourself with your own childishness. May the East High Wildcats and the Holy Spirit be with you, and also with you. Thank you for loving me. I love you all.